Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday. As we get set to talk all things in high school sports, some playoffs going on, some football going on, among many other things happening. JP joining me this morning. But first, let's thank our financial benefactors. None bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're always open online at caclfcu.org. And don't forget about the convenient drive-up services over on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway for your convenience. Voted the number one lending institution the past 6 years. Why? Because you won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. Also, Phoenix Physical Therapy, where you can rise, recharge, and recover. Bobby Dusso and the gang got JP's hips moving in the right direction. And he, Franco, Mike, and the gang around at Pine Grove and Gratz. Forget they're in Orangeburg, Pottsville, and Frackville, too. But they can help you get your physical therapy needs met at Phoenix Physical Therapy. And Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road. From whole milk to skim milk and everything in between, award-winning chocolate milk, fruit drinks, including the new raspberry and diet decaf raspberry. At Gears Dairy, you can sip on Schuylkill County. And Johnny, a big show coming up today. We're going to talk to Ed Moran, the head coach of the Shenandoah Valley Blue Devils, about his first win last Tuesday and his game this afternoon against Panther Valley.
Absolutely. We'll have to contact him in the cloud because I'm sure that's where he and his kids have been. And looking forward to that, but jumping back a little bit into the week, Chaz. Couple things before we get to the area of football is king. We'll talk about two football personalities, Chuck Kutz down at Hamburg getting his 100th win, and Mark Rosenberger up there at Jim Thorpe, his 150th win. And area-wise, big shout-out. Blue Mountain girls repeat as volleyball champions. The Blue Mountain boys return to glory in soccer, and the Pottsville girls repeat in girls soccer. And I'm only going to give one individual shout out. All you had to do was see the picture in the Pottsville Republican after Ava Goodman scored the winning goal with 5 seconds left in that game against Minersville to realize how neat it is to watch these young athletes.
Indeed. Well, John, let's take a look at the Week 7 high school football scoreboard. Right here on WPPA last night, you heard Pottsville defeating Jim Thorpe 28-11. On T-102, Williams Valley comes from behind to defeat Tri-Valley 35-28, a game you and I got to take in last evening. Blue Mountain bombed Monoy Area 54-26. Lee Heighton trimmed Pine Grove 28-20. It was Nativity taking it to Schuylkill Haven 35-7. Tamaqua dropped Penn Argyle 30-14. Minersville, a 25-0 victory over Marion. And we talked about today, Panther Valley at Shenandoah Valley at 1 o'clock. So, John, I guess we'll get to talking about some of these wonderful games from last night. And I guess between the pines in Williamstown, what a game.
For people who joined us, it was phenomenal. Start to finish. I don't use the word classic very often, but that was a classic matchup against two teams that are exceptional, and both played exceptionally in one half and then the other. I mean, I never saw a game change so dramatically after the half. I mean, Leroy was there, and he put it in his article. We talked about it last night. Mm-hmm. The Vikings, one of the best offenses in the area at halftime, had a total of 17 yards and no first downs. Yeah. They were still in the game, though, at 21-7, yeah, and came out in the second half gangbusters. Tri-Valley's first half, that was a classic. On the ground, throwing the ball, they did everything right. And a touchdown changes the game, but people walked out of there in awe, not only of the two teams, but of the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what an incredible evening. I think the quote of the night has to go to Tim Savage after the game, because, I mean, we were kind of alluding to, you know, we'd imagine what the halftime speech is. We were talking about it off the air. You know, it was great to welcome the sports director back into the sports broadcaster mix on the sidelines last night. I'd seen he had some fun times back stomping around a little bit. But, you know, we all wondered what was said. And I think Tim's comment after the game, if you tuned out for the postgame show, you missed the line of the night last night on T-102. When Tim said to Bill, "Yeah, at halftime, I sent my assistant coach down to the grocery store to get some bags and told the kids to put them all over their head, because that's kind of where it was at halftime. In my years of coaching here, we never had a half like that."
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about Tim in the pregame. We interviewed him. We talked about what was going to go on at halftime. And I had said at one point, for those of you who know Tim, this is going to shock you. He can be very blunt at times. You know, that's Tim. That is Tim Savage. And it's the challenge. When they were going in at halftime, one of the lines that most coaches will say is, do your job. If you do your job, we're going to be okay. But what made that game incredible was the way he had kids change their job in the second half. And mm-hmm. at a small school, you got to have kids that are willing to look at you and say, okay, last night he takes a center and puts him at fullback in the second half. He takes his wide receiver, whatever you want to call him, tight end, wide receiver, one at the top of the area, and he goes, you're going to be running the ball. And it paid off big time with a very important win for those Vikings.
Do you find it easy or ironic, okay? Leroy put it in here that Tim Savage calls the package Big Spade, and it paid in spades when he made that move.
It and right from the get-go, the first carry, first two or three carries that Engel had, everything changed. I thought the kids for the Vikings changed. All of a sudden, it was like, take the bag off, baby. We're ready. We're back. Mm-hmm. And the crowd changed. I was never at a Williams Valley game that was so quiet at halftime. Everybody was kind of stunned. Yeah. But I'll tell you, after those first couple runs by Engel, they knew there was life, and of course it paid off, you know, in spades.
And our hat's off to Tri-Valley. I mean, in that first half, they had everything figured out, everything covered. Coming in, Tim Savage said, you know, I don't know if they can pass the ball. They haven't had to do that yet. And Jonas McGrath, albeit he did throw four picks last night, and that was your key to the game, and it came true. I'm not going to doubt you again, I guess, but you know, that's what changed this ball game. But in the first half, he was throwing BBs, and the passing game is what allowed them to really expand. Chase Herb is a very versatile running back. I mean, they can float him out for passes, and he can reel them in.
And he ends up catching two touchdown passes, one on a perfectly executed fake punt. But that was it. This is a team that averages about 350 yards on the ground. And in that first half, they were heading to it. They were heading to it. Mm-hmm. But why do coaches get paid the big bucks? Adjustments. Adjustments at halftime.
27 cents an hour, John. That's what our coaches average.
So yeah, I'm missing that big check.
Don't let anybody fool you.
Yeah, it's adjustments at halftime. You want to get in the locker room. You know what you have to do. And now you got to get your kids to buy into it. That's exactly what happened in last night's game.
It was those four turnovers that gave Williams Valley short fields, because the Vikings are 160, roughly, yards in the deficit to Tri-Valley in the game last night and end up winning by seven.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And turnovers. And it's not only the turnover itself. It's what it does to your offense, especially when you're clicking, as you say. McGrath had most of those passing yards in the first half and then struggled a little bit. But I wasn't surprised at the interceptions. My unofficial records, I had the Vikings with about 11 interceptions going into the game. So that was not unusual that they come up with some big picks.
Indeed. And, you know, let's talk about Jake Herman, who didn't get a whole lot of ink or airtime, but last night coming up big for Williams Valley in the passing game.
In the passing game and on defense. I mean, I thought he had a spectacular game, and they were, you know, he's been hobbled a little bit during the year, but stepped up last night. And Evans coming back, I thought, was a big deal, too, for Williams Valley.
And I got to be honest, Lane Yoder of Tri-Valley, his exploits catching the football, he was hauling them in. You know, it was a great game to witness last night in Williamstown. Irregardless of who you were pulling for, it was that big third quarter by the Vikings that propelled them to the victory.
That's it. And when you look back, we talk about players of the game and so on. Chase Herb's job, both jobs last night, he mastered running the football, catching the football, and on defense, he was spying on Mr. Engel the first half and held him without a reception. I mean, these are the things sometimes that get missed in the statistical part.
And let's be honest, it was Chase Herb's defense that pushed Williams Valley to making the switch offensively coming out of the locker room.
Yeah, and think about that. If you are a sports fan and you look and you say one guy, now I'm not taking anything else away from the Tri-Valley defense, but you look at a kid and say, this is your job. I know you run the ball. I know you catch the ball. You've got to shut this guy down if we want to have a chance of winning. For the first half, it certainly worked. And then Tim worked his bag trick at halftime, and they come out with the big win.
Game heard right here on WPPA last night. Jim Thorpe and Pottsville, the Tide victorious. The Tide with some great offensive balance. But let's talk about their defense, John. Now, Tinajero not in the line, so I got to believe Mark Rosenberger's club is hurting for certain. And it looks like they're running their leading rusher for the game, not available last night. But the Olympians held to 18 yards on the ground by the Crimson Tide defense?
Yeah, I think you brought up a great line there, Chess. That's been overlooked this year with the Crimson Tide. They do have a very potent offense, and Rafe DiCello, from what I understand, his first catch last night for a touchdown was of the circus variety, and he had another one later. Snoll, of course, really coming along as the season goes. Walchok is that steady runner. They have a bunch. But what their defense has done since that first game against Nativity, I think has been overlooked by a couple people, but you just brought it up, holding a team like Jim Thorpe to 18 yards rushing. That's outstanding.
Rafe DiCello with two catches. All he does is catch touchdowns.
Yes, yes. And Snowell is just maturing every game because now he's also doing it on the ground.
So the Tide take apart the Olympians on the home opener for Jim Thorpe at their stadium in Mock Chunk with their new artificial surface. And the Tide improving to 5-1 on the season.
Yeah, and then when you look at the confusion, let's just say, with the games being called off and so on, they actually go ahead of North Schuylkill in the standings in the Schuylkill League, at least, for a while with their record. But hopefully North Schuylkill gets to catch up playing.
Well, they'll have one before the district playoffs start next Friday if they're able to play, because their 14 days ends like Thursday. So we'll see what's in store for the Spartans next week. They lost the game to Tamaqua last night as well. And Tamaqua, how about Mike Romiak? I mean, this guy loses the game against North Schuylkill, picks up Pittston. And on Thursday, finds out Pittston can't play. Now, both of those games are scheduled at home. So what does the AD of the week do? He gets Penn Argel to come into Tamaqua and keeps his home gates open. His business manager is excited. And Nate Wickersham, once again, leading the way on the ground. And the Blue Raiders beat Penn Argel last night, 30-14.
Yeah, and they roll up 282 yards on the ground. You mentioned Wickersham with the 107 and Kirby, who was just a battering runner, 96, and Hess 83. Those three guys will carry Tamaqua when they get it going. And as long as I say about coaches, that's why the ADs get paid the big bucks too. And they have had to juggle schedules and traveling and times and postponements, cancellations. This is the year they earn that big check.
Well, Pottsville's going to play Blue Mountain next Friday night in a rivalry. And, of course, JDRF will be involved in the Clash of 61. Phoenix Physical Therapy stepping up to be the sponsor of that traveling trophy and the MVPs of the ball game. It's nice that Frank Herndon still involved as well in the cause. And as things progress this week, we will find out more on that. Hopefully we can work Frank into an appearance on Step Up to the Mic, and he could talk about how you can get involved in the cause for JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, as these schools have raised money for the past few years. But Blue Mountain, can you say team peaking at the right time of the season?
I got to tell you, they put 54 on the board against an exceptional Monoy team. We've seen Monoy play twice this year. They have had terrific games. Of course, they were coming off a great win against Nativity. And Blue Mountain, we always talk about his stable of running backs. 10 different kids carried the ball last night for those Blue Mountain Eagles.
Not only did 10 different kids carry the football for Blue Mountain, but their running game is starting to pick up steam a little bit. 340 yards total on the ground for the Eagles. Eman Parker, 6 carries, 112 yards. Johnson, 10 carries for 84. Bartholomew, 7 for 63. Meaning the Eagles have found a ground game and their line is starting to pull together. Bartholomew through the air for 177 yards. Hensley, 4 catches for 108. But let's not overlook Banteria Monoy area. This is back-to-back weeks.
Real deal.
250 and above, as last night Ben carries it 22 times for 249 yards and a couple of touchdowns in the game. And, you know, Monoy area is stepping up and playing Blue Mountain in this wacky schedule season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Blue Mountain, we talked about it last night on the air, came in, unscored upon in 10 consecutive quarters. Monoy area didn't let it go to 11, though. They scored in the first quarter, answering a Thompson run with a Terry one-yard push. And for the Bears to go down there on a defense like that and score, I got to say this single-A race is going to be awful fun to watch.
Yeah, and they talked about an onside kick again. Chaz, and we've done a lot of games this year. The kickoffs that we've seen this year, I don't know if it's a pattern. I don't know if they all want to keep it away from some of these great running backs that are running back kicks and stuff, but we have seen more pooch kicks. Mm-hmm. You saw a bunch of just bouncing kicks last night, mm-hmm. onside kicks, and Monoy actually got back in the game recovering one. But I got to tell you what, Blue Mountain was relentless then. You talked about Hensley. Now, a big catch, Hensley. 4 for 108, Chaz, another touchdown. Now, it's thrilled to see Jason Dean, who was moved to a different position, comes up with the touchdown catch. So they're doing it right. And again, kids saying, I'll make the change to make our team better. So hats off to those kids in their new roles.
Indeed. Let's stay in Division One as Lehighton traveled cross county to Pine Grove and come away with a 28-20 win. And boy, these two teams are certainly similar as far as numbers go, John.
They are. And similar in their year, Chaz. Both coaches have talked about consistency. We saw Lehighton play and really get stuffed by Blue Mountain and turn around to beat a darn good Pine Grove team. And I've said they've been snake bitten with some injuries and so on during the season. But I wouldn't have even wanted to try to call who was going to win that game previous to it last night, but Lehighton comes up a big win, and McDowell runs crazy.
27 carries, 255 yards for McDowell. Nye last night for Pine Grove, 12 carries, 155 yards. That's the first we've seen him leading the running stats for Pine Grove. Jake Leininger still not in the lineup. Mason Crow back in last night, and there was a couple of second-half interceptions for the Indians. It helped seal the deal. And Pine Grove, 8 penalties, 82 yards. Boy, that seems to be a stark contrast for Lehigh. And they had 8 penalties for only 26. And when you look at an 8-point ball game, could be the difference there, John. Penalties could have killed some things as the Cardinals couldn't find the end zone in the second half.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Sometimes it's not the penalty itself. It's when you get it. I know when we talked to Frank, he said they were making mistakes at critical times. And again, here's a guy who's had to really jumble up his starting lineup because of injuries and so on. And, you know, it's a great game for him, but that's a very deceiving record for Pine Grove at 2-5. They deserve better, let's just say it that way.
Yeah, they've certainly been in most of the ball games this season and just can't find that recipe to pull through every single one of them.
Yeah, so. And a new quarterback in there for Pine Grove. Of course, he played last week too, but Shea Morgan continues to have one of those great years. 5 catches, 78 yards, 24 yard run on a fake punt. I mean, he just is that all-round kid and also is a great defensive back.
Well, John, last night in Minersville, Marion came to town, and guess what? Connor Schwalm is still doing Connor Schwalm things as he throws the ball all over the joint. 337 yards passing, the Miners 147 on the ground. And for Marion, their offensive woes continue, garnering just 79 total yards of offense.
And that's the key. You got to have horses right now. They're rebuilding, and I found it interesting. Marion came in from hometown, and Marion from Minersville was very happy with the score of this game.
Indeed, and how about this? Brett Polinski leading the charge in the receiving department. 5 catches, 166 yards receiving, and a pair of touchdowns.
Yeah, and, you know, he came up big. Jared Grafe, who has done everything for Minersville, was able to go back to his receiver position and ends up with 96 yards catching the ball. So Minersville coming on at a good time.
Schwalm, 16 of 27 without an interception last night against the Colts. That's got to be, things are looking up for the freshmen as this season has gone on.
Throwing for 337 last night. That is scary when you talk about a freshman.
Minersville with 305 more yards. Actually, 405 more yards than the Colts.
Yeah, a dominating performance by Minersville, both sides of the ball. And again, when you have a freshman being able to do this, and he's complemented by a couple of those seniors who give them the stability that they need, and Connor Schwalm certainly has risen to the occasion.
Well, John, our final game to take a peek at this morning. How about Nativity finding their way back onto the winning side of the ledger as they dropped the Hurricanes in Schuylkill Haven last night, 35-7? And, well, I can't say it's necessarily balanced by Nativity this time, but they seem to have gotten their ground game back in front, 243 yards rushing last night for the Wave and the Wind.
Yeah, and then, let's be honest, they struggled against Monoy area, and they came up big last night. Schuylkill Haven, of course, always has a decent ground game. You know, and Haven was coming off what I thought was a pretty good game against Williams Valley the week before. They played them really tough. Nativity, of course, was coming off a tough loss. And I don't know if anybody expected a score like we saw, 35-0 at one point in the Mercy Rule going in. But Nativity has that ability. We've done a couple of their games. We have talked about it often. They have such a potent offense. It usually doesn't matter where it starts from because they often come up with those big plays. Now, last night, it was more grinding it out. And, of course, big interception return by Cody Miller, who just had a fantastic game. Throwing the ball, running the ball, and of course that interception for a touchdown really clinched it.
Miller, two interceptions on the night. He ran for 95 yards on seven carries, drops in an even 100 on 6 of 12 passing. Keegan Brennan back into the flow of the offense last night, three receptions for 76 yards in the victory. For the Hurricanes, Connor Guerin continues to shine, 12 carries, 145 yards. Mason Reber, 14 carries for 69. And boy, that's the way it ends up last night for Nativity, picking up another win and putting themselves in position here in the District 11 tournament, which, I'll tell you what, we talked about that single-A race a little bit with the Nativity and Tri-Valley and Williams Valley, along with the Monoy area, and that is going to be some kind of fun as this season winds down next week, because that's a jumbled mess right now.
Oh, you got that right. There's going to be so many great games in the districts. I know there's still some consternation, let's call it, with some teams because of the number of wins that they've piled up, that they aren't going to the states and so on. At this point, you got to make do with what you have, with the hand you were dealt. But I think we're going to see some awesome possible rematches in these districts.
Well, here's how
players.
Crazy this got from last night, John. Williams Valley has now jumped into the driver's seat in District 11 single A. Nativity is the second seed after their victory last night. Tri-Valley, with the loss to Williams Valley, drops to the third seed, and Monoy Area is the fourth. So if the season ended right now, Williams Valley would face Monoy Area, Nativity would face Tri-Valley. Okay? In double A, still some moving and a shaking going on, as today's game is going to be a big factor in how the eight teams are seeded for AA, because Palisades, Northern Lehigh, Minersville is now the three seed, followed by Palmerton, Catasauqua, Schuylkill-Haven, Penn Argyle, and Shenandoah Valley in the eight hole, with Panther Valley in the nine spot. Now, those two teams play today, but it could hinge on next week's ball games, where Panther Valley gets Tri-Valley, and Shenandoah Valley, no, that's Kutztown is the week after, I think, but it'll be interesting to see how that shakes up. Now in 3A, and I don't know if Notre Dame or Green Pond played last night or today, but according to the bank here, North Schuylkill is still the top seed in AAA, followed by Notre Dame of Green Pond, Jim Thorpe, and Tamaqua, with Pine Grove on the outside looking in the four-team field. Now in 4A, what happened after last night? Blue Mountain bounced up. Bethlehem Catholic 1, Northwestern Lehigh 2, Pottsville is 3, followed by Allentown Central Catholic, Blue Mountain, Saucon Valley, Lehighton moves up into 7th, and Bangor sits in the 8th spot.
So they're taking 8 in 4A.
They're taking 8 in 4A. Now, Lehighton has a big game next Friday against North Schuylkill, should that game be played. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes things there. And as far as 5A, 6A, we don't have any dogs in those fight, but the 5A is going to be a four-team field, and guess what? Everybody in 5A is going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And Chaz, you know, it's interesting. We were talking last night on the way about if there was a minimum of games that had to be played in order to qualify for the districts, and how that all worked into who would go on into district play.
Yeah, and you know, there's no minimum games needed to be played for District 11 3A that I know of. I know that wasn't something that was thought of. I know some other districts have put a minimum cap on the games that you need to get in before you can roll into the District 3 tournament, but I don't think District 11 did that, and I think it was for good reason, because you never knew who was going to survive and who was going to have the opportunity to make their way into the thing. So
yeah, and that's a great point, because you don't want to punish a team for something they had no control over. I mean, it's as simple as that. If everybody goes back to what everybody yelled about when this was coming down, if you just want to play, then this is the best way to do it.
Well, we'll find out from a man who just wanted to play, scheduled 10 games, picked up his first victory on Tuesday against Columbia Montorvo Tech, and has Panther Valley coming in for 1 o'clock this afternoon. Ed Moran, the head coach of the Shenandoah Valley Blue Devils, set to join us next here on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com. And if you missed the show or you know somebody you just want to hear it, find the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and our host, Anchor.fm.
WPPA's Polka Time, Sundays 1 till 3 p.m. Hi, Paul Congress inviting you to tune in to the widest variety of the newest and best polkas here on WPPA. So set your dial to 1360 WPPA, 106 FM, or on the web, WPPARadio.com. Let's make it a date.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in and out drive through banking and a state of the art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
The folks at Gears Dairy would like to thank all of you for your overwhelming support of our new raspberry tea. No matter the weather, the raspberry iced tea and diet decaf raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow, perfectly refreshing. Plus, you can enjoy all of their iced teas, fruit drinks, and milk products. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest family-owned dairy. Ah, sip on, Schuylkill County.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Don't forget Notre Dame football today. Here on AM 1360, 106 FM, 2:30 pregame. Kickoff between the Fighting Irish and Pitt is at 3:30 this afternoon. And we've got your Fighting Irish football here on WPPA. T-102 will host the Nittany Lions today on the road at Indiana. 2 o'clock airtime upstairs, 3:30 kickoff for Penn State on T-102. Now, John, we're going to welcome to the program a man that picked up his first victory as a head coach on Tuesday night, Ed Moran of the Shenandoah Valley Blue Devils. And, Coach, you know, winning can become contagious, and the look on your kids' faces after the game Tuesday night against Columbia Montorvo Tech, boy, that's got to kind of sum up everything here in this first year of your tenure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that was something that we really wanted to get for our kids. You know, we as a coaching staff, we were so thrilled for our kids. You know, when I took the job and when my coaching staff came together, you know, one thing we wanted to do was to try and end the streak, but we wanted to try and improve the program. And for these kids, you know, getting that first win for them in the last couple years was monumental for them. You know, my junior running back came up to me and gave me a big hug. Before the end of the game, and after the game, was saying, "Coach, that's the first win I've had as a Blue Devil." So you know, it was a really big night for our kids, and hopefully something that we can build on going forward today, and you know, the next two games we have, and going into next year. You know, getting that monkey off our back of that streak was a big thing for our program.
You know what? It's interesting. That's why I just kind of looked at Jay-Z or JP and I put the finger up. Wait a second. When Brian gave you that hug and you called a timeout and he just was kind of hanging on you and you could see the emotion during that time, what did you say? Like, all of us looked at each other. You called timeout with 16 seconds left. We're like, what's he doing? But to see that in that group, in that huddle, when you have, what did you say to the kids at that point?
You know, my coaches were giving me a hard time about that too. They said, "What were you doing?" I did wait until under 40 seconds, so I knew we'd run a play and the clock would run out, so we wouldn't have to run another play. You know, I wanted to bring the kids together because for all the kids, you know, this has been something they've been working towards the last couple years. You know, I just brought them in and said, "Look at that scoreboard." And I said, "You guys earned this. You know, you guys earned this." And I said, I wanted everybody to hear what I'm going to say next. And then I said, victory formation. You know, and our kids did get emotional. We had several kids that were crying after the game, just happy tears. So, you know, it was an emotional night for all our kids and our staff, and, you know, even for the town of Shenandoah. When people were leaving the game, there were people honking horns. You know, people were excited. You would have thought we won a district title the way people reacted. But, you know, it was an emotional night for everybody, and we're just so thrilled that our kids were able to get a victory and hopefully, you know, be able to build on this going forward.
Sure, and Ed, you bring up so many great points right off the bat. The one that strikes me the most, I'm putting marks here. The thing you talked about most often here are your kids and the program. And sometimes people get so tied up with the winning, they forget you're dealing with kids and that they are going to be emotional. And in that small town atmosphere, that makes it great because towns very often live and die on the pride they have in their kids and their programs, and you certainly brought that back to Shenandoah with that big win.
Thank you very much. And like I said, you know, that was kind of my goal for this year too. You know, coming into a program that had been 1-31 the last couple of years, you know, I knew I wasn't going to compete for a district title this year. You know, with some of the other teams that we have in the area. But what my main goal was to be able to improve the experience for the kids. You know, and there's things that we've done as a staff, you know, even at the school, and we've had a lot of support from the administration at the school. But we've been trying to improve the experience. And, you know, getting that win the other night was one of the ways that we were going to improve their experience for them. You know, everything I've asked of these kids from January, and then when we went through COVID and then coming back in July, you know, they've done, and they've done with enthusiasm. So, you know, I was just so thrilled for them, you know, to get that win. And like we said, you know, they were very emotional, and you have no idea how thrilled I was for them to be able to say to them, you know, victory formation and see the smiles on their faces as they ran out to do that.
Ed, let's talk about some kids in your program. And Jason Migliaccio was another one after the game. Now, you know, the celebration kind of pushed its way over to the far side of the stadium. And he came back over to the sideline with another player. And that's a senior kid on your team who I felt just kind of owned things in the trenches against Columbia Montorvo Tech. But to see his emotion after the game as a senior, Franklin Argueta had a big night playing both sides of the football for you guys. You know, another senior. And Jonathan Abreu, who kind of came in a little later, but another senior. But to see Migliaccio after the game, that big, bulky, burly guy, just kind of breaking down. I mean, think about what they've given for the program.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Jason's a great kid. You know, he's one of my favorite kids on the team. He's also one of the best players in the area. You know, he played tackle last year. We moved him to guard, and he can just totally maul people. You know, and he's such a great player for us. And he's a good kid, a good leader. And same thing with Franklin. You know, he's a good kid. He's a good leader. And Jonathan, you know, coming in late during the season too. I got to give credit to these seniors for what they went through to keep coming back and keep playing hard and giving their all. You know, that's just true character, and all three of those kids have character, and you know, we're happy that we have those three. You know, we wish we had, you know, 10 or 12 seniors, but you know, we're happy we have those three, and they're great kids and great example for some of our younger players.
Well, you got some great individual performances, but the thing that jumped off the page for me was 278 yards on the ground. Your line comes up big. And Hunter Teeter comes up at 120 yards rushing. That's a great job by your offensive line.
Yeah, you know, they did a great job Tuesday night. You know, early in the season we struggled. Part of it was the murderer's row lineup we had to face early on. You know, Tamaqua, Williams Valley, Tri Valley, you know, Haven. You know, we struggled at times, but we have gotten better throughout the season. Tuesday night, our offensive line dominated. Hunter Teeter was fantastic. You know, he made some nice cuts on the outside and ran hard. And then we have our bruiser, Brian Dunn, who, you know, runs more inside for us. So, you know, we were thrilled with the run game. It also enabled us to do some new things in the pass game. We had some new receivers in Tuesday night. Tyler Harris had a big night for us, making some catches. Earlier in the season, we lost probably our best playmaker, both on offense and defense, in Joey Bevasis. So we've had some kids step up, and Tyler Harris definitely did Tuesday night. And I also want to highlight, too, one of the kids I've been touting all year, Owen Kozar. He's one of the best athletes in the area. He has, as a defensive back, he has a four interceptions on the year. Offensively, he throws the ball well. He's, a good scrambler, a good runner. And had we been able to block earlier in the season for him a little bit more, I think he'd be one of the stat leaders as a quarterback in our area. Owen's just an excellent athlete, and another great kid that we have. And he's one kid that we're excited for, too, along with Joey Vasis and Hunter Teeter and Brian Dunn, that we're going to have back next year. So they're kids that we, are utilizing this year, but we're going to use as building blocks for, next year and some of the years after that.
I want to go back and talk about Harris, and I'll tell you what, there was a play where he was clubbed by two defensive backs, was able to look the football in, get away from the two, and race down the field. I don't know where you found him. What, he's 5'1", 102 pounds maybe? And he was a man possessed on Tuesday night.
Yeah, definitely. Tyler, his play was bigger than his stature, that's for sure. He played really well for us. One of the things that, played into that, his play on Tuesday night, Tyler's been helping us out with our scout teams all season. And he plays hard, he practices hard, and, has been making catches and getting hit in practice. And we really think that helped him Tuesday night when he got the opportunity to shine. He's going to be somebody for the rest of the season that we're going to depend on. He definitely stepped up, had a fantastic night for us. And one of the things that we as coaches really liked about our receivers on Tuesday night is they were downfield blocking. And that shows effort and that shows commitment to your team. So, we were really happy with our receivers Tuesday night. And, hopefully that translates into today. Today we have Panther Valley. And I get to take on one of my coaching mentors, Rick Jones, who I played for at Minersville and then coached with last year and has been a mentor and friend to me for 25 years. It's an exciting day for us as a football team, for me to take on Coach Jones. Like I said, a friend and mentor will be fun as well.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time, Ed. I'm glad you brought it up. There is a camaraderie among the coaches in the Schuylkill League that transcends just the winning and losing. So many people share things, and you get to do this, play against a mentor. You can tell Rick that I sent my best. I think he just celebrated his 100th birthday. So
yeah.
If you would just tell him I reminded him of that. But, now your kids have won a game. And my own daughter is involved in coaching now. What it does for your program is now they know they can win. They got over the hump. They survived the comeback. You can look at them and say, you know what you have to do now. And I think that carries over big time, Ed.
Yeah, definitely. Going into the Columbia Montorvo Tech game, we played Minersville the week before. And, Minersville made some big plays in the first half and got out into a big lead on us. And at halftime, we kind of turned to our kids and said to them, this is on you. This is you guys got to come out and motivate yourselves to play the second half. And the third quarter against Minersville, offensively, we dominated them. Now, the clock was running, but we drove down the field and we scored. And we looked at that as kind of a turning point for our team. They came out and they did it themselves. And we looked at that as a turning point for our team that really helped carry us into the Columbia Montorvo Tech game. So, you're 100% right in saying, winning changes things for our kids, and we're hoping that that translates into today and carries us the next couple games. But our kids are really excited. You had mentioned before that we have scheduled extra games to play. I think we might be the only team in the state that has 10 games. When I said to our kids, do you guys want to play a Tuesday night game? They emphatically said yes. So that was something that I looked at as a good sign of our program that, our kids want to play. They want to play, especially in a year with COVID-19 where there's been so much uncertainty. you know, our kids wanted to play and you know, are excited to play.
Well, Ed, today's a big game against Panther Valley at home, and it has big-time playoff implications. Right now, the Blue Devils are sitting in the eighth spot in the AA race. Now, my question is, did you call Rick and ask him, please, not to contaminate the field at Shenandoah with your bag of dirt and say, now this is our home field?
Yeah. You know, I actually sent him a text message this morning. Rick and I are very close, so... you know, it will be a fun game for both of us. I'm sure he had some tricks up his sleeve that he didn't teach me yet. You know, but I'm sure he wants to teach the youngster, you know, some new lessons. But you know, it'll be a fun game for us. You know, he's someone that I truly admire and you know, respect, and I'm looking forward, you know, this year and you know, the coming years of having some games of wit with him. But you know, we're excited to be able to play today, and like you said, it is a big game for both programs. You know, they've made a lot of improvements from last year. They're a much better team than they were last year. They have, you know, Louis Clouser is, you know, a dynamic playmaker from a running back position. He's got a lot of speed. You know, Mike Pasco, a sophomore quarterback they have there, I worked with last year. You know, he's made a lot of progressions as a thrower. He's a big kid that runs hard. And then up front, they have Austin Hadley and Pirelli there that are guards for them that are really physical offensive linemen. So, you know, we have my staff and I have an interesting look at Panther Valley because we've coached some of those kids the last couple of years. So, you know, it'll also be a fun game for us to play against some of the kids we know. And, you know, hopefully it ends up being another Blue Devil victory. But if not, I think both programs will look at this game as a competitive game that we both get better at.
Indeed. Well, Coach, congratulations on victory number one. Good luck today. And we hope to see the Blue Devils make their way into that District 11 tournament. And thanks for taking time out of your schedule this morning here on Sports Saturday.
All right. Thank you very much. And go Devils.
Well, JP, there you have it. Ed Moran, always effervescent, joining us this morning.
Absolutely. It's what it's about. His heart is in it. The head follows later.
We'll take a time out and come back with the sports editor of the Republican Herald, Leroy Boyer. It's around the corner here on Sports Saturday.
Life is about motion, so orthopedic injuries are just a part of life. Phoenix Physical Therapy helps you rise to new heights after an injury by creating a program focused on you. With direct access, you can easily schedule an appointment at one of our convenient clinic locations in Pottsville, Orwicksburg, Brockville, Pine Grove, or Gratz. Your community selected Phoenix is the proud winner of the 2020 Republican Herald Reader's Choice Award. Your life should be pain-free, filled with activities that you love. With the help from Phoenix, you can recover, recharge, and rise. Visit phoenixphysicaltherapy.com to schedule your physical therapy visit.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in and out drive through banking and a state of the art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Don't forget Fighting Irish football today on WPPA. 2:30 pregame, 3:30 kickoff. As Notre Dame takes on Pitt, T-102 will host Penn State and Indiana. 2 o'clock pregame on 101.9 FM with a 3:30 kickoff from Indiana. Joining us on the program, JP, the sports editor of the Republican Herald, Leroy Boyer. And Leroy, you were in the same venue as we were last night, and whoa, baby, what we were left with, huh?
I tell you what, it turned into a really interesting game, especially in the second half. Williams Valley made the big adjustment at halftime and put Jesse Engel from tight end spot to tailback and what they called their big spade package, and it produced immediate dividends for them and turned the whole game around, basically.
Oh, that, no question about it, and that's the great part. We talked about it last night, how you'll take a kid who's a premier receiver and you say, okay, you're going to be a running back, and you take your center and say you're going to be a fullback, and for the good of the team, they're willing to make those changes, and it did pay off in spades.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the key things that Williams Valley did, too, they got a big game from a kid, and I mean, I don't know how much you mentioned him, but Cruz Banda was number 52 mm-hmm. last night. He played a really strong game defensively in the middle of that defensive line, stuffing Tri-Valley's running game, especially in the second half. They put him in at center. He had been their center the first couple games of the year when they had some linemen shuffling around there, and then the Jackson Yoder kid got kind of put in there the last couple weeks at center to kind of move things around a little. Banda came in at center, and he plowed some holes, created some gaps that when Yoder came through and Engel came through, there was a big hole there. So unsung hero from that whole move is the Banda kid who came in and played really well.
Indeed. And, he's shown up in a couple of games. Against Nativity, he had a couple of very big defensive stops for Tim Savage's ball club. And, it's interesting when we look at the overall makeup, Leroy, of football in our area. One, there's an awful lot of youngsters on a whole lot of starting lineups. And two, I don't know that anybody has proven that they're not Jekyll and Hyde so far.
Well, that's a contrast to last year. When you looked at last year's teams, and we had all those teams that won championships and went really far, they were senior-laden teams. I mean, when you had a Pottsville team that went all the way to the, won the district title, they had one or two kids coming back from that entire team. Tamaqua went to the Eastern Final, and they had basically, three kids back from last year. And that was not just the championship teams, but pretty much up and down the board of the teams that weren't championship teams and maybe just playoff contenders. I mean, there was only one or two teams coming into the season that had a lot of kids coming back. So you're already putting youth in. You add that factor to the point where the numbers of the football teams in our area are down. Take case in point, Schuylkill-Haven and Pine Grove. Both of those squads are starting about five freshmen a game. Those are, Schuylkill-Haven's a traditionally strong program. You would think that they would not have a numbers problem, but they do this year because of enrollment and cycles and everything else that goes on at a small school. And Pine Grove, Frank Gaffney's building a program out there, and it's going to take a little time. And right now he has a good group of youngsters coming up, so he's going to play them if they're good enough. I think it, when you talk about young kids playing, it's about getting your best kids on the field as much as possible. And, in correlation to that, Davin Bartholomew, Jesse Engel, it's about getting the ball into the hands of your best player as much as possible, especially when you have a lot of young kids playing. So you're seeing that up and down the board on a lot of these teams.
Yeah, and I think another big change this year, Paul Babinski, I think, addressed this last night. Because of the change, because of all this craziness, you're playing teams that you would not normally play, and a lot of them much bigger than you. That complicates the matter sometimes when you're just looking at records or statistics. I don't think it tells the full tale of where many of these teams actually are.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Nativity, for example, how to play Pottsville and Jim Thorpe, who they would never schedule, ever. Monoy Area and Blue Mountain, they only played when they were in the Anthracite Football League because they had to. They were in the same league. And even though when Blue Mountain and Lee Heighton came into that league, there was a big enrollment discrepancy from AAA and to single A, and that's why the league never lasted. There was just too many big schools and too many small schools, and not enough teams in the middle. So you got crazy schedules. I mean, it's all about getting kids opportunities to play games, and that's why we're having district playoffs and not picking one team to go to the state playoffs. It's about maximizing the opportunities that these kids have to play football. And Ed Moran, your last guest, is a perfect example. They scheduled 10 games. Chino Valley won for the first time in 35 games on Tuesday. Credit to those kids who came to practice every day and worked hard and went and lifted over the summer and did all the things, little things that championship football teams do, but they kept doing just to get one win. And let's hope they get a couple more.
Yeah, I mean, that game this afternoon is very interesting now that, the district fields. And I think it's great the district fields are going to be District 11 teams. There's no sub-regional this year, which I think is an even bigger picture item that everybody's not paying attention to, is you're actually going to have a true District 11, and you won't have the thing between like Mono Area and Schuylkill Haven last year. But, you know, when you take a look at today's game, Panther Valley and Shenandoah Valley may not have even been in the mix to talk about positioning for this. But here we are.
The original playoff bracket, only four teams in AA got in. So the other four that get in, and you can throw Schuylkill Haven into this mix because, honestly, throw all those AA teams on paper, I'd take Schuylkill Haven. I would. I would pick them to get to the end because I think they're a better team than their record, and they're getting better and better. I mean, last night, you know, last night was probably an exception. They had been playing much better in their last couple games, you know, going into last night. But that AA bracket is throw everybody on the table, turn the cards upside down, and pick one, and that might be the team that wins it because there's no strong team in there in that whole mix. Panther Valley and Shenandoah, because of the expanded, you know, playoffs, eight of the nine teams get in. So when you get a chance to win a game like Shenandoah and you have one win like Panther Valley, hey, we got a chance to make the playoffs, and we got a chance to play another game, a playoff game, to, you know, another week of practice. Maybe we win a playoff game. I don't know. This AA, all of the District 11 playoff brackets, and I don't know about 5A and 6A because I really don't care. I don't have any teams in there. But I think all four of the brackets that we have teams in are crapshoots right now. You could pick more than one team and say, I think they're going to win it.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. And, you know, when you take a look at 3A, four teams getting in, and that's another dogfight. The real challenge will be the final rankings, depending on what happens for North Schuylkill next week. Do they play Friday? Don't they play Friday? You know, that's going to be part of that interesting 3A race coming down the chute here.
Well, and Pine Grove's loss last night really hurts Pine Grove. They were the four seed. Going into the night last night, they dropped all the way to six with that loss. Now, they do play Tamaqua on Friday. Tamaqua, I think if this morning when I looked, was the four seed. I don't know if Salisbury played last night or if they play today or whatever. But you know, that game between Pine Grove and Tamaqua could be like a playoff elimination game, depending on you know, what happens in that game and what happens to Salisbury and you know, Jim Thorpe ahead of them. But, you know, credit to Tamaqua. Tamaqua, if they don't play a game last night, who knows where they sit in that playoff race. Instead, they play a Penn Argyle team with a win or two and beat them and get more points. So, you know, it's all going to come down to who beats who this coming up weekend and where, you know, where those rating points tell us. I mean, if North Schuylkill does play, they play Lee Heighton, a bigger school with a couple wins, that will help them. I don't really know who Notre Dame plays next week. But, you know, if North Schuylkill plays and gets a win, you would think that they would stay number one.
Well, that's going to be interesting. And then last but not least, I think everybody's excited for the single A bracket because there again, I don't know if you can necessarily turn the cards upside down, but if you throw blankets over those four teams, I don't know that you could tell who's the best.
You know, I wrote about this 2 weeks ago because I've seen all four teams. And I got to see the Tri-Valley Monoy game. And that was my first time seeing Monoy area, my first time seeing Tri-Valley, too. And I was totally impressed with Tri-Valley, and I left that game wondering, is Monoy not as good as we think they are? They did nothing right that night. That's a tough environment to play when you got to Tri-Valley. There was no fans there, so it was kind of like playing pickup football in the middle of a cornfield because there was no fans. Their band's not very big. It wasn't very loud. It had like an eerie Halloweenish type feel to it that game because it was, you know, just lights and, you know, Field of Dreams baseball type stuff. And Tri-Valley dominated the game from start to finish. Since that game, Monoy's come out and they've beaten Nativity and they gave Blue Mountain a big scare. And Ben Terry, I don't know if he's been tackled yet. I mean, he's rushed for almost 500 yards in two games. So, you know, I mean, Monoy figured out what they did wrong against Tri-Valley and they turned it around with two impressive games. They'll beat Shenandoah next week. They'll come into the playoffs with a lot of momentum. Nativity rebuilt their momentum last night with a win. They have a tough game next week. You know, for Pat Mason's club, you hope that they get through it healthy. And Tri-Valley and Williams Valley, boy, that was a game last night. If they meet again, you know, Williams Valley made that adjustment. Tri-Valley had that lead. You know, they threw too many interceptions, but Jonas McGrath was pretty impressive in the first half, and I think he proved to some people that Tri-Valley can throw the ball as well. So it's not just give it to Chase Herb 40 times and let him run for 250 yards. And, you know, Shive had a big night running the ball, and it just came down to Williams Valley made more plays than Tri-Valley. In the end, they made the adjustments that they needed to, and Tri-Valley didn't adjust back. So if they play again, what happens? And maybe if it's at Williams Valley again, or maybe if it's at Tri-Valley, or who knows where the game is going to be, neutral site, you know, Schuylkill Haven and North Schuylkill, if they decide to go that route, it's going to be interesting. Let's put it this way. It's also going to be interesting to see who plays who in the semis, because Nativity and Tri-Valley have squared off in the semifinals the last 3 years, and Tri-Valley's won all three. This fourth, if that would happen again, this is the best Nativity team that they've had of those four. So we'll see, you know, how that all shakes out. Nativity and Tri-Valley did not play each other. That was one of the games scrubbed when Tri-Valley did not play the first 3 weeks of the year. So we'll see how it goes.
It's kind of crazy, Leroy, as this whole season has been. I can tell you that trying to pick these things certainly hasn't been fun, as we do in the paper. But still a lot of football left to go.
You can't get a read on some of these teams. One week they look like superstars, and the next week they lay eggs out there. And, you know, you get people heckling you from the stands for what games you pick. It's like, yo, listen, try my best.
Yeah, you're right.
We're all trying our best.
You're right. Last night I had fries delivered by somebody other than Ben Anchef, who said, Ben wanted me to tell you that being that he saw the picks this morning, there was no way he was bringing these to me. So that's the way that unfolded, but we
good
look
nature.
Forward every single Saturday and, well, sometimes Sunday, and we know that deadlines have certainly precluded what stories make it to Saturday morning from Friday night, but we know you guys are doing the best you can, and we certainly enjoy reading those stories.
Well, you know, you left the game last night. Where was I? I was in the parking lot still writing my story. I did the same thing at Tri-Valley when they played Monoy. Games that aren't, you know, really close to the newspaper office, don't be surprised if there's a reporter sitting in the press box or sitting in his car or standing outside his car like I did last night because the weather was so nice, and nobody else is left. I mean, there's two games I've done this year where I was officially the last person to leave the whole school. So, hey, that's the way a sports writer's life goes.
We certainly understand life on the road, don't we, John? Well, Leroy, we want to thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning to take a look at this district road ahead and how much fun we are going to have over the next couple weeks here. One more week of the regular season, but thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. As always, you guys do a tremendous job. Love listening to your show. Love listening to you guys call games, so keep up the good work.
Thanks, Leroy.
Thank you. Well, John, we are out of time this morning here on Sports Saturday. The Saturday Morning Oldies Show is coming up. We want to thank CACL Financial, along with Phoenix Physical Therapy and Gears Dairy for sponsoring the program here on WPPA Pottsville each and every week, so we get the opportunity to talk all things about our kids in the Cola region playing athletics, right?
Kids in programs, baby. It's what it's all about.
You'll join me next week.
Yes, I'll be back.
As long as
return,
I'm penciled
fiduciary.
Yes. That's going to do it for the program. The Saturday Morning Oldies Show is coming up here on AM 1360, 106 FM. Don't forget Notre Dame football with a 2:30 pregame today.